Please take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 through 15. One of many scripture passages I will be referring to throughout the course of today's sermon. It's a topical sermon using question 117 of the Catechism as a biblical summary. So I'll have you turn to question 117 as soon as the sermon gets started. But first of all, 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 through 15. Last week we looked at question 116, why prayer is necessary. Two reasons. Prayer is a chief part of thankfulness, and it's only through prayer that God gives his grace and Holy Spirit to believers. Today we're going to learn how to pray the prayers that God always hears. 1 John chapter 5. 9 through 15. This is God's inspired and therefore inerrant and infallible word. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So far, the reading of God's word. Let us now ask for God's blessing. Father in heaven, once again, we confess our spiritual blindness by nature. When we were spiritually blind, you open up our eyes to believe the truth. And we need you to continue to open up our eyes so that we believe the truth and so that we are sanctified by the truth, so that we grow in faith and love. And we pray that you'll make that happen once again for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, as I said last week, we learned why prayer is necessary. We used Heidelberg Catechism question 116 as a biblical guide. Today, we're going to learn how to pray the prayers that God always hears. And this time, we're going to use question and answer 117 as a biblical summary. So if you want to turn there, I'm just going to read it. It's on page 46. Those of you that are new to the Heidelberg Catechism, you'll notice there's a scripture proof text for just about every statement that the Catechism makes. The writers of the Catechism wanted to show the church that they were very careful to base everything they said on the Word of God. But it's important to remember the only way we can agree with them is for us to see for ourselves, and so we have to study these scripture passages. We're going to look at many of these throughout the course of today's sermon. Question 117, what belongs to such prayer which is acceptable to God and which he will hear? And you'll notice there are three parts to acceptable prayer. First, that with our whole heart we call only upon the one true God who has revealed himself to us in his word for all that he has commanded us to ask of him. Second, that we thoroughly know our need and misery so as to humble ourselves in the presence of his divine majesty. Third, that we be firmly assured that notwithstanding our unworthiness, he will, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayer as he has promised us in his word. So there are three things that are necessary for our prayers to be heard by God. I'm going to shorten those three things into three points. First of all, our prayers must be based on God's word. Second, a humble confession of unworthiness and dependence. Third, trust in God's promise to hear us for Jesus' sake. Those are the three parts that belong to prayers that God will always hear. Now, one point of clarification before we look at those three parts. When the Bible speaks of God hearing prayer, that means more than just knowing the content of a person's prayer. God knows everything, including what everybody is praying or not praying. For God to hear prayer means he is listening favorably to your prayers. He's delighting in your prayer, and he will most certainly grant your request or answer you in a way that is best for you. Let me give you a couple of biblical examples of what I'm talking about. First of all, Proverbs 15:29. The Lord is far from the wicked. Now I'll just pause there. The Lord is far from the wicked, certainly not in a spatial sense, because the Lord is everywhere present. What does it mean that the Lord is far from the wicked? That simply means his loving presence is far from them. But he hears the prayers of the righteous. He listens favorably to the prayers of the righteous. Another example, Proverbs 15, verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked, that would be an act of worship, including prayer. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Psalm 145, 18 and 19. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and save them. For God to hear a cry for help means more than just knowing that somebody's crying for help. It means he will answer that cry and give his help. And on the flip side, for God not to hear a person's cry for help means he will not answer that cry. He will not give them help. Proverbs 21:13, whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. In Isaiah 1:15, the Lord says to his disobedient people who have walked away from him, even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Same thing in the New Testament, 1 Peter 3, verse 12, which is actually a quote from the Old Testament. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, sometimes even the righteous fall or go astray for a time. In such cases, the Lord will not hear their prayers. Listen to what David said in Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, that means if I look favorably upon iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Now, that obviously doesn't mean the Lord's not going to know what I'm saying. He will not hear means he's not going to answer my prayers. But when the righteous repent and turn back to the Lord, he hears their cry for forgiveness. Let us now consider the prayers that God always hears. There are three parts to such prayers. First of all, our prayers must be based upon God's word. And the first proof text in the catechism is John 4, 22 through 24. Jesus is speaking to the Samaritan woman. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship. So right there we can say not all prayer, not all worship is acceptable to God. Jesus told the Samaritan woman, you worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, because the Savior came from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So prayer based upon God's word simply means that you need to call upon the God of the Bible The God of the Bible is the only true God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons in one God. And there's a certain order to our prayers. We pray to the Father, through the Son, by the grace and help of the Holy Spirit. We must call upon the true God, as Jesus says, in spirit and truth. In spirit means in our spirit, from our heart. And there's lots of examples. Let me just give you one. Psalm 42, 1 and 2. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. The Pharisees called upon God with their lips, but their heart was far from them. Their spirit was not involved. In truth means in harmony with truth. And what is truth? God's word. As Jesus said in John 17, 17, praying to his Father, your word is truth. So our prayers must express what God himself has said in his word. That's what it means for our prayers to be based upon his word. And the second proof text in the catechism is 1 John 5, 14. We read this as part of our scripture reading. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Remember the correct meaning of hears us. According to his will means his revealed will in his word. God does not give us an unbridled liberty to ask whatever comes into our minds. And that would not be good for us, if you stop and think about it. If God were to indulge every wish we have, that would turn out very badly for us. So we can be thankful when God says no to some of our prayers. God teaches us by his word what he would have us ask him. And think about it, it's pretty simple, isn't it? If we ask what he tells us to ask for, then we know he hears us. And as it goes on to say in 1 John 5, 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Now, the next proof text gives a practical example of what it means to pray according to God's will. It's real simple. Psalm 27, verse 8. This is David speaking to the Lord in prayer. When you said, seek my face. Now, where does God tell us to seek his face? Tells us in his word. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. That's pretty simple, isn't it? That's a prayer based upon the word of God. And here's another example. Psalm 50, verse 15. The Lord talking to his people. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Now, it can't get any simpler than that, can it? God says, when you're in trouble, you call upon me to deliver you, and I will, and in the process, you will glorify me. So what do you think our response should be to what God says in his word? A prayer based upon his word would do what? God, this is a time of trouble. I beg of you, I call upon you, please deliver me. I mentioned at the beginning of the service, when we read through 2 Corinthians chapter 1, that I would have an opportunity to refer back to that portion of Scripture. The Apostle Paul said that they despaired of life, him and his companions on the mission field. They despaired of life. They had the sentence of death in them. They felt like this was it. There's no more hope. We're going to die. Now, why do such things happen? Paul tells us. Let's remind ourselves of what the answer is. If you go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it's so that God is glorified in our deliverance. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 9, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. And then Paul goes on to say that God delivered us, and he's still going to deliver us. And verse 11, you also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf. Now, I'm just going to pause. We tend to think, don't we, that the more people are praying, the better chance we have of getting an answer, that God needs a lot of Christians praying in order for him to hear our prayers, and that is not true. But God does want a lot of people praying. But why does he want that? Well, he tells us right there. Verse 11, look at it again. That thanks may be given by many persons. You see, God wants to be glorified when he delivers us from trouble. And so that's how we properly understand a prayer that's based upon God's word. And we all know, because we've all had this experience of praying for deliverance and we're still not delivered, that doesn't mean that God hasn't kept his word. It simply means that he's testing our faith. God often lets us wait so that we learn patience, we learn perseverance. But he will deliver us. That's a promise. And he will be glorified when he does. Psalm 34. Again, examples of how believers are to respond to what God says in his word and then to base their prayers on what he has said. Psalm 34, verse 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. You see what it means for God to hear you? He acts on your behalf. He delivers you. Verses 17 through 19, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. That's what it means to base our prayers on God's word. God always hears a prayer that's based on his word. In fact, God delights in the prayer of the upright, remember? One of the most thrilling moments for any new parent is when their child starts imitating what you say. Dada. Think of our Heavenly Father. He is delighted when we speak his words back to him. So that's the first component of a prayer that God always hears. Second of all, such prayers contain a humble confession of unworthiness and dependence. Our Heavenly Father wants us to come to him with a humble heart, just like we did when we first cried out to him, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Because of our sins, we do not deserve any of God's blessings. We don't deserve the ones we have or the ones that we're going to have. In the Lord's Prayer, which we'll look at later, our Lord has taught us to pray every day, forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And there's only really two ways to pray. In a nutshell, it's either in pride or in humility. And the parable of the Pharisee and tax collector illustrates this very beautifully, doesn't it? If you're familiar with that parable, the Pharisee goes to the temple, and here's how he prayed. He prayed in pride. He thought he was better than other people. And he actually thanked God that he was better. God, I thank you that I'm not as bad as all these other people. I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done that. So I deserve the things that I have. The tax collector couldn't even look up. He says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And when we first come to faith and salvation, we still have a lot of pride, don't we, that we need to be delivered from. And so we must always be humble when we approach our Father in heaven. 1 Peter 5:5-6, again quoting from the Old Testament. There's perfect harmony here on prayers that God hears. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I hope we see how important humility is in our prayers. Because without humility, our prayers really turn into a list of demands. We think we deserve to have these things. Here's a list of things that I'm mad that God is not giving me. Let's look at a biblical example of a humble confession of unworthiness and dependence. Let's turn to Genesis 32, 9 through 12. I could say that one of my least favorite Bible characters is Jacob, even though he was a believer. Jacob is probably more like us than we care to admit. Genesis 32, 9 through 12. Now, keep in mind the context. Jacob is preparing to see his brother Esau. He hasn't seen his brother for over 20 years, and he's terrified because he knows that the last time he saw Esau, Esau vowed to kill him because he stole his birthright blessing. So let's look at Jacob's prayer. And Jacob didn't learn to pray this way overnight. We know that he was a schemer and a deceiver. It took him a long time to pray this way. But see, this is why we have to go through the trials and troubles we go through, so we learn how to pray. Genesis 32, 9 through 12, then Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, notice how his prayer is based upon God's word, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. I am unworthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant. For I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. For you said, there it is again, prayer based upon God's word. You said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Well, God heard that prayer and he answered it. Genesis 33, verse 4, long story short, Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And then later on, they actually got to bury their father together. God always hears the humble, dependent cry of his people. One more example of a humble and dependent prayer, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12, another verse that the Catechism cites. The people of God were being attacked. They didn't know what to do. We have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. That's a prayer we can pray today. We have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. God will hear that prayer. He did then, and he will today. Psalm 61, 1 and 2. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Perhaps your heart is overwhelmed this morning. There's a prayer you can pray. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The Lord delights in the prayers of his people. He delights in the humble confession of unworthiness and dependence. Isaiah 66, 1 and 2, thus says the Lord, on this one I will look favorably, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. prayer based upon God's word, a humble confession of unworthiness and dependence, thirdly and finally, trust in God's promise to hear us for Jesus' sake. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And what we have to remember is we don't just go through Christ once and we're done. Our continual access to the Father is through the Son. Lots of examples of this. 1 John 2, verse 1, "My little children, these things I write to you, that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." We often think when we sin, we're in big trouble, right? There's no one in our corner. Well, what does the Bible say? When we sin, now we're not supposed to sin, but we're going to, and so when we do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Hebrews 7:25, Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He's their advocate. Our prayers go through him. John Calvin put it so beautifully. Jesus is our mouth to carry our prayers and requests to God, and who enables us to find grace before him. Jesus is our mouth to carry our prayers to God. This is why prayer must be in the name of Jesus. Now, you and I have gotten into the habit of using "in Jesus' name, amen" as kind of like a tag at the end of our prayer, so everybody knows that our prayers are coming to a close. And anytime we do things routinely and habitually, we tend to forget their true significance. To pray in Jesus' name is to pray with his permission and his blessing. It's a recognition that the only reason why God hears our prayers is because Jesus has earned all the blessings for us by his perfect atonement on the cross. And therefore, it would not hurt us every once in a while to begin our prayers in Jesus' name, to remind ourselves, to make us aware that God is hearing us because Jesus has given us the right to be heard. And God delights in the prayers of his people. The proof text here is John 14:13-14, where Jesus said, "Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, here is where we need to compare Scripture with Scripture. Anything is not a blank check. It's qualified by other scriptures. It's qualified by the one that we read earlier, 1 John 5:14. "If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." So that must always be understood. Anything according to his will, based upon his word. Anything is also qualified right here in the passage I read, John 14:13. "Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do." Why? "That the Father may be glorified in the Son." Part of praying according to God's will is praying that our Father would hear our prayers so that he is glorified through the Son. That should be our motivation. Remember, call upon me in a day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Our Heavenly Father is indeed glorified when we believe his promise to hear our prayers for Jesus' sake. Yes, we must realize our unworthiness. That's part of humility. But nevertheless, we must be firmly assured that he will hear us, and he delights to do so. He wants us to trust him in all circumstances. It is not honoring to our Father when we doubt his promises. And so we need to ask the Holy Spirit to put a check in our spirit. The moment we are tempted to doubt that God's going to keep his word. It does not please him. It does not honor him because it's accusing him of being unfaithful to his promise. James gives us instruction about this in James 1, 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So again, God says, if you ask me for wisdom, I will give it to you. And when you ask for wisdom, that's a prayer based upon God's word. But you do need to ask the right way. You need to ask in faith. Verse 8, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So let me give you an example of an unstable prayer. God, I asked for wisdom, but you're probably not going to give me wisdom, so I might as well not bother. God, you answer everybody else's prayers, but you don't answer my prayers, so I might as well just forget about it. That's not a prayer that is honoring to our Father. God always keeps his word. If you lack wisdom, ask, and it will be given to you. Be certain that he delights to give you what you need. Another verse that the Catechism cites, Hebrews 11, 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Well, if there is a God, God, if you're up there, no. He who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Even if God does not give us what we ask, we have the promise that he will reward us just for seeking him. And we can encourage ourselves in our prayer life, because sometimes it does feel like we're not being heard, our prayers aren't getting anywhere. But remember Hebrews 11, 6. God says, I'll reward you just for diligently seeking me. The bottom line is, we're either going to insist that we're right, or God is faithful. Do you remember when God finally spoke to Job? Job was accusing God of treating him unfairly. And God says, will you condemn me that you may be justified? See, God, I'm right. You don't care. You don't answer my prayers. See, God, I'm right. We need to repent and ask God to forgive us and to cleanse us from this sin. Our doubt does not glorify him. Rather, our faith and trust glorifies him. He is glorified when we say, God, I am confident that in your perfect timing and in your perfect way, you're going to hear this prayer in Jesus' name. And isn't it wonderful? Our Father will never leave us nor forsake us. Even when we fail, even when we give in to our doubts and our unbelief, he's not going anywhere. He will work through that, and he'll bring us to the place we need to be. He will always hear the cry for help. I don't care how far away we have run. I don't care what situation we're in. He'll always answer this cry for help. Help, Lord, deliver me. I'll close with a biblical example of this. And this always amazes me, that when Jesus saw his disciples struggling in the midst of a windstorm, he's walking on the water towards them in the middle of the night. Isn't this amazing about Peter? Peter said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out there with you. And Jesus says, come out. Peter had the faith to walk on the water. None of the other disciples had that kind of faith, but Peter did, and he was walking on the water with Jesus. And then we all know what happened if we're familiar with the story. He takes his eyes off of Jesus and starts looking at the storm, the clouds, the dark clouds, and he begins to sink. Help, Lord. And of course, the Lord helps him. And do you remember what Jesus said to him? Why did you doubt? you were walking on the water. But I'll hear your cry for help. And we'll try this again sometime later. So these are the prayers that God always hears. So let's keep praying these prayers. Let's persevere. Prayers that are based upon God's word, they have a humble confession of unworthiness and dependence, and they express a trust in God's promise to hear us for Jesus' sake. And don't forget about the word amen. That also is an expression of confidence. It's a Hebrew word which means I believe. So let's not take this for granted. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand for prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for teaching us by your Holy Spirit how to pray. You gave the desire to your disciples to be taught. Thank you that we can come to you right now in Jesus' name, and we can pray prayers that are based on your word, based upon the things that we've learned today. So help us to keep these things with us throughout the course of this week and to remember them and to seek to grow in this area of our life. We do confess our unworthiness and total dependence upon you. Forgive us for forgetting how unworthy and undeserving we are. We humble ourselves now and ask for your forgiveness and cleansing of all sin. And we do ask you, Heavenly Father, to hear, as you have promised, our cry for deliverance. It's always a time of trouble to one degree or another. And so we ask you to deliver us from our troubles, from our fears, our problems. And give us patience to learn what we need to learn through our trials and our troubles. Thank you, Lord, that when we feel like we're sinking, you will hear our cry for help. Thank you, Father, that you're listening now. And once again, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.